Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And we're back in the saddle again.
Hey,
finally,
everyone.
Finally.
Yeah, sorry for the extended leave of absence, but glad to be here. I'm Caleb Hamill, he's Josh West, and it's time for another edition of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. It was a good time off, though. A good time off for you to have such excellent guests on the show over these past 2 weeks. You brought in the house.
Yes, there was a lot of mercy shown to me. The guys stepped up. I needed to bring in the big guns, and they were there for me, so it made me feel appreciated and loved. I felt the love in your absence.
Hey, but I tell you what, you carried it well. Listened back. It was a great couple shows. Recapping some good action as well. I was looking forward to some good seasons ahead as you talk to Coach Knight and Coach English as well. Really good stuff. And we're going to continue talking about good action that's going on the field to start off the show today. We've got Coach Farrell in studio, and we've got a national champion in Morgan Reeves from archery coming in here as well. Good stuff in store. We want you to stay tuned for that. But Coach Farrell, first of all, welcome back. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. We bring you back because you're such a good guest for us over here. You provide us with wonderful conversation, whether it be about soccer or not. We get caught up on all kind of things, whether it's golf or the weather. We've been talking about hurricanes before we came on tonight and all that. But, yeah, Coach, first of all, big week already behind you after wins against Thomas and Florida National. Some tight ones, both 2-1 victories for the guys over the past week. And they didn't come easy at times. They did not.
Difficult games. And we weren't fully, didn't have our full squad for both of those games. But like I said, sometimes you just have to find a way and grind out the results. And our guys did that, playing Thomas first before they went over to Mobile. Still a very, very good win. And then obviously ending with Florida National, just finding a way to win that game. Again, we played numerous players starting that game and found a way to win.
Yeah, Josh, you can kind of touch on the Thomas match first off. That was one where Carey kind of had it in hand, but then things got a little dicey there towards the end as Thomas had a couple chances to possibly equalize and force that tie at the end. What did you see out there that really stood out to you?
Well, for me, I mean, we knew that this was going to be, and Coach, you'll be able to speak more to this. We knew they were going to park the bus. We knew they were going to lock in defensively. And then as you mentioned in our postgame comments, the team switched off a little bit there. All of a sudden, you're up 2-1, and then you really kind of almost a little bit of panic set in the last 3 minutes, and Thomas had all the momentum. Talk about that, but also something I wanted to get your thoughts on is that it seems like perhaps in recent years, this has been a Carey team that has been healthier early and maybe peaked a little early. This is something that is continuing to build. There are things to build on every match because these were games perhaps you lose one or two of these a year ago, you're able to win them ugly this year.
I would agree with that. Totally agree with that. Like we talked about, the squad is a lot stronger. We've got it. I was, when we were interviewing after the Thomas game, you could see I wasn't really, even though we won the game, I was kind of upset because we didn't, or I say I failed and I got to do a better job of making sure our players know how to close out these games, kind of game management and letting a team like Thomas in there go late. And then the last minute, it is a bit of a panic. And sometimes it's good to see that in games and prepare your team for that. But at the other side, we've got to do a better job of just closing out that game, being smarter on the ball, making the clock run down a lot quicker, and we failed to do that in that game.
Yeah, but when you're seeing guys like Jamie Wynn get really banged up, Jordy Jukovic get banged up, you're thinking to yourself, my goodness, not here we go again.
And that's exactly what happened. Jamie was banged up, and then he missed the next game. you know, and leading into that Florida National game, we made numerous changes, and then two players in the warm-up decided they couldn't go. So it's not great preparation, but I like it as well, because then it tests your other players, and they were ready, and they did a fantastic job. Rangel scores the first goal. We're talking about the corner kick. It was amazing. Djukovic wasn't going to start the game. He gets the assist. We ended up putting on Wynn in the game, just felt we needed something, and he's banged up, and you know, he comes on and gets the assist for McConnell, who wasn't feeling well. So it was tough, but like you said, just find a way to win those games where maybe last year or the year before we weren't doing that.
Yeah, really good match. I enjoyed especially those two goals that Carey was able to score against Florida National. And for everybody that didn't know the backstory of all of that, they lost a player to a car accident, and I believe two others are still hospitalized right now. So our thoughts and prayers still out with Florida National and all their crew tied to that situation. But a very emotional game for one that was not a conference game for William Carey's, one where still a lot was put out there on the field. And even until after the final horn sounded, it was one where tensions got a little high.
Yeah, emotions were high and understandable from Florida National. I thought the referee did a really good job, honestly, in the game, managing it, especially towards the end of the game. It just got kind of out of hand there, but he did a fantastic job. And I let him know, you know, after the game, that was smart what we did, and you know, because it could have been a lot more yellow cards in that game. But hopefully they can turn things around. They're in that independent conference, and I think they're a good team. They're just kind of underranked right now. Their record doesn't show how good of a team they will be, but I feel they'll start getting some wins together and finish off strong.
Coach, one of the follow-up questions I wanted to have for you is when, you know, you look over on the women's side and you mm-hmm. look at it, and because it may be a little bit of a different level of parity, and that's putting it nicely, the goal numbers that the ladies put up every year are just insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely just ridiculous, and in a good way. But for this men's team, you know, a guy like a Jamie Wynn, who's now battling back from bumps and bruises, he's going to be okay. He took a hard hit and he'll be okay. But there's got to be more goals come along to help out a Colby Godbolt. Is there a player? Are there two players or three players? Where's that going to have to come from? Who are the guys that you maybe have already had conversations with about how that role has got to continue to grow, and they've got to assert themselves and finish off some of these plays, because we're seeing touches in the right spots, and then sometimes the ball's on top of them and they miss those. In basketball, we call it a bunny shot, a layup shot. They've got to put away those one-on-ones with the keepers on those crossers.
And that's why I was so annoyed against Thomas, because you know, we had some really good looks to put those away. I think one player, and again, he wasn't healthy in the last game, is Billy Boag. I think
sure.
Billy, he has it in him. He's an experienced. He's a five-year player. He's a transfer from Tennessee Wesleyan. He just has had bad luck with quad injuries and hamstrings. But he's that one player that I feel we can get going in that striker position. Jordy Djukovic is another player where we've kind of moved his position a little bit with Rangel playing so well. He's another player that I think can really help Colby Godbolt, because teams now are kind of looking at Colby as that one player and taking him out of the game. So we need numerous players, like you said, Josh, to step up, and hopefully McConnell from midfield will get another one as well.
He is Barry Farrell, head coach of William Carey Men's Soccer. We're talking to him about the big week last week, wins over Thomas, Florida National. Of course, fan favorite, one of my favorites. I got a chance to visit with him, Jack Greenwood, still rehabbing, still trying to come back, and he was very honest, saying, I'm kind of in the same boat I was last year. When do you pull the trigger on him? When does he make a go of it to try to get a little bit of conditioning, a little bit of training, so to speak, to be able to make it a go? Because you feel like if he gets a chance to play, he's probably 3 to 5 goals down the stretch.
He trained last week. He trained.
Yeah.
He trained. I know you're happy. He trained last week. I feel he is, I want to say tomorrow could get cleared, Josh, but he still looks amazing in front of goal, you know.
That's what I'm talking about, right in front of goal.
So, I mean, he'll still go on the trips. He's brilliant to have. Like you said, the energy he brings just being on the bench alone is huge for us. But, yeah, I feel like he's ready to go. You know, he's ready to go, and I feel – maybe not this weekend, obviously, but it could be next week or the week after. There'll be games where we can put him in, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
You got to look here at the schedule. Obviously, you've got a game against Life coming up this Friday, and then Sunday afternoon it'll be a road trip against Dalton State. Both of those matches on the road. In fact, a huge Georgia streak of games with Life, Dalton, and then Point next Wednesday before you're back against Faulkner here in Hattiesburg. You kind of have a nice non-conference match with Tougaloo on Monday, October 21st. That'll be senior day before you square off against Mobile, who is with Cary there at the top of the conference standings right now. Dalton State, just a match and a draw off the lead as well. And so, big set of matches in front of y'all. Should be a fun finish.
Yeah, it's a massive 3 weeks. You know, six games. And I think we said, me and Danny were talking earlier on about it. I think it's 14, 15 days, six games. But we've just played seven games in 21 days. I mean, you got to love it.
It's a good time of year, good time to be a Crusader fan. And also, man, we might bring Coach Farrell back for the third segment just to talk about this.
We have to. There's more to talk about.
Because also, man, this new student section that started to come out the games. It is
the rally crew.
The rally crew is in full swing. All right, when we come back, Morgan Reeves from Archery comes in studio. National champion joining us here on the program. More Crusader.com coming next.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Great conversation earlier with Coach Barry Farrell of men's soccer. Hope to have him back here in just a little bit to talk a little bit of what's ahead for this upcoming week as Cary faces Life and then Dalton. And kind of wrapping up the year as we get closer to the SSAC tournament and national picture as well. Still a lot of season left to play, but man, it is coming down the pipe in a hurry.
Yeah, and I thought we were going to have a little Queen, you know, a little We Are the Champions synced up when we came back from break here because of our next guest.
That's oversight on my part.
We were so close.
We were so close. But hey, we'll make sure
we
next time.
We can dub it back into the podcast.
I mean, you know, Morgan Reeves joins us here in studio. Morgan's just a freshman, though, so this is, you know,
this
number one.
This could be a trend starting.
This could be. Very much could be. Morgan, first of all, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thanks for having me tonight.
All right, so Morgan Reeves, freshman out of Natchez, Mississippi, was part of Adams County Christian and their archery team before coming to William Cary. First of all, what has it been like for you as far as developing this talent and this skill? When did you first realize that this is something you wanted to do?
Well, I mean, my dad pretty much taught me everything that I know. I mean, he was pretty good back in his day, I would say, and well, work got in the way. But I mean, when I was probably six or seven, I just got influenced by him and just started picking up a bow and kind of had the talent for it, I guess.
So when did you realize that this is something that you could be not just, you know, a fun activity to do on the weekends or whatever, and learned that this could be a competitive sport that you could be a part of? When did that finally set in for you?
Well, when I was about 10, I was competing nationally. So, I mean,
unbelievable.
I was probably the youngest. I was the youngest going to, like, national tournaments. During that time, we were going to Louisville, Kentucky, where they have nationals competing against 1,000 kids, I'd say, from the ages of, I mean, I would be the youngest, so 10 to about 16. And then, I don't know, just over time, my dad just influenced me to push myself, and it opened a bunch of windows for me. I got some really great opportunities.
Absolutely. What is it like competing at that level? Because there's a lot of money invested, not just in the travel. I mean, you hear about driving all the way to Louisville, Kentucky. That's a lot of miles to put on a vehicle, a lot of, you know, time spent away from home. This is something that you've had to raise money for, get sponsorships for along the way to where you are even today, right?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be more thankful for my parents. They spent everything they had into it to get me where I am today. Thank goodness for all my sponsors. I wouldn't be able to travel without them or do what I could without them. It's a lot of money, lots of miles, many of hours behind the wheel traveling. Like, we go all the way up to Washington, Pennsylvania, North, South Dakota, Foley, everywhere.
Now, so you went to Vegas as well at some point?
Yes, sir. I go every year.
There you go. Now, what tournament is out there in Vegas?
Oh, it's called the Vegas Shoot, which is a three-day event.
Wow.
I want to know, you said you started competing at 10. Were you a wide-eyed 10-year-old, or were you too young to realize what you were doing at that point at 10 years old?
I guess I probably was too young to realize. Like, I didn't have the type of nerves, I guess. Just being that young, you didn't understand, really. So, I mean, I never felt pressure being that young, and I just developed into it.
Were you able to carry that mindset, like you said, from a point of too young to have nerves to then realizing that, hey, I belong here at a young age? Did that allow you to be able to have the poise to be so good at such a young age?
I mean, no doubt if I wasn't started out as young as I was, it would have been a totally different road, lots of nerves. But, I mean, I've been in it so long, it's kind of natural to me at this point.
Are you a gamer? Do you hunt as well?
I do.
Is that something that was really a passion of yours that helped mm-hmm. lead into this?
I think I actually started hunting before competing. So I was 9 or 10 hunting. So
hunting is, in some parts of the country, not here in Mississippi, but in some parts of the country, is controversial.
Yeah.
But it's so key to conservation. What's the big common misconception about hunting, especially in a state like Mississippi where deer, for example, outnumber people?
Man, I really can't tell you about that one.
Well, and I've heard that it's vital to make sure that the older of the population and the ones that are maybe sick or whatever are herded out of the population to keep the whole herd safe. And I know that's something probably you and your dad were into. But I guess great hunting story. What's been one of the most memorable hunting stories for you?
Well, I mean, talking about controversy, I did go to Africa about 2 years ago, which that was probably one of my favorite trips so far.
And the same thing, though, it's the older to make sure mm-hmm. that the older animals are not getting the population sick.
Yeah, you have age limits when you hunt. So, like, if anything under, you can get fined for it or anything. So, usually, you look deer, majority, they don't want anything shot under 3 years old because that's immature for them. So, I mean, yeah, you try to kill the older to keep your population going.
Now, for our listeners out there that are thinking, okay, we're talking about archery on this athletics mm-hmm. program, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what does a competition actually entail? Well, archery doesn't just involve your typical targets that you see, you know, in the movies and everything else. It's not just a bullseye with a couple rings around it. You have not just that, but you also have 3D shooting, which is something I didn't know about until just a couple years ago when my sister-in-law became a high school archery person. Their team is a lot more informal than what you've been going through. But at the same time, when you see 3D, you're like, what is that? It's actually practicing at animal type targets. Tell us a little bit about what the meets are like for you, in which you go out there and have both normal targets and then the 3D as well.
Well, there's so many different categories of it. We have USATS, which is like your, I guess you would see it more in movies, like the big faces that are like yellow and red and blue, which that's outdoors is what we call it. And then you have indoors, which is like paper faces with 3 to 5 spots on it, shot indoors at like 20 yards. And then 3D, which is a three-dimensional animal target, and it does have scoring rings on it and bonus rings. And you shoot those out to 50 yards in any weather condition. Like this past weekend, it was a torrential downpour, and they made us sit out there for 4.5 hours shooting.
Wow. And see, that's the thing. Whenever I saw 3D shooting for the first time, it was in the same arena as everything else. It was just, you know, a little further down the gym floor. And so to see pictures of what they do, Josh, it's crazy because they're putting them in almost like real life scenario of what an actual hunt would look like. And I feel like that's got to add a little bit of adrenaline to it to kind of feel like you're in that moment versus just being in this, you know, curtain gym environment to where everything's kind of artificial.
Oh, well, then everything comes into play when you're outside. You have wind conditions, sun, like everything plays a part in it. And, I mean, the more you think about it, you have less of a target to aim at. It's more critical for where you hit and everything.
How technical does that get in terms of the elements? Are there certain, like, calculations, if you will, that you're doing automatically in your head, or is so much of that feel-based?
Well, I mean, the sun, it can reflect off of a lens, which we see, which has magnification, so you can see better. Depending on the way the sun is setting or rising, it can cause left or right because of the just the illusion it gives. it would center point it off. It's like it's things you wouldn't think of that just causes, and then the wind, like around 5 miles an hour wind, which is nothing, like you wouldn't even feel it really, it will drift your arrow inches. Mm. So you got to calculate all of that during a tournament.
That's so wild to me. Yeah, you know from golfing, you know, just how much wind can affect a ball.
Right,
that's about your best parallel right there. Now, I want to talk about how you got to carry, first of all, and how you were discovered by the coaching staff at this university. What attracted you to William Carey and brought you into the fold to be part of this archery group?
Well, so we have three athletes on the archery team, the Roberts, which they introduced me a while back about Carey. And I was kind of going towards Mizzou College at the time. But the archery coach there, he passed away. His name was Waldo Cleveland.
Mm.
So when Johnny reached out to me after that, I really thought about it, and I felt that that was what I kind of really needed to do. And, I mean, I couldn't be more grateful. I'm loving it so far, and I've had a great time here.
We're talking to Morgan Reeves of William Carey's archery team, and let's kind of talk to the big ticket item that's kind of, you know, faced us here about what you've been able to do, and that's come away as a national champion. First of all, what event was it? And talk us a little bit about how you got to the point of being the one on top at the end.
Well, it was the USA 3D National event, which was in Foley this weekend. It is your top colleges throughout the nation, which were like Texas A&M, Columbia, all the like big schools, big rivalries, mm-hmm. too. Like, especially like in sports, it's the same there. Throughout the weekend, I mean, it was really rough. One day, it downpoured. Second day, we went into the shoot-off, and the first day, that's where we did individuals, so we qualified. You shoot, 40 arrows, and you get a total score, which a day is 200, so 400 would be your total. I came out on top with a 422, which, I mean, it wasn't my best, but, I mean, it was pretty fair. So that meant I shot 22 up, which is around 11 bonus rings. And, I mean, it was a rough weekend for me. I had a few problems, but I was happy with how I ended up placing. I was glad I could represent Carey while I was doing it.
Hey. Big first step as a freshman, just casual national champion.
It's a natty.
Yeah, it was just a kind of off weekend. But, you know, I came away with a championship. No big deal.
Better keep an eye on her.
That's right.
More national championships coming.
Yeah, you got any friends you're going to bring with you in the years to come?
I hope so.
We hope so, too. She's Morgan Reeves, national champion with William Carey's archery team. Congratulations, and we look forward to seeing what you're able to do for William Carey in the years to come.
Well, thank you.
All right. When Josh and I come back, Coach Farrell will join us back in studio as we continue the conversation here on Crusader Talk. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here in studio for another segment on Crusader Talk with Josh West. Alton Stanford running the board for us today, and Coach Farrell is back in the chair. Josh, I know you and Coach Farrell are big golf people, but I feel like archery's got to be the next thing we pick up, right?
I mean, when you talk to Morgan, I'm just blown away with her poise, right? Which, if there's ever a sport where you've got to be poised, it's that. Because I'm thinking Hunger Games somehow. I'm
Katniss
thinking Hunger
Everdeen
Games, right? You could tell she's done an interview or two.
Oh, yeah.
No nerves. Was completely composed. I mean, if there were a couple of butterflies, she completely concealed it. She knows how to control the breathing. She knows how to keep the hands steady. I was watching her hands. I mean, she wasn't flustered at all.
Mm-mm.
I mean, she's really talented, and I can't wait to see what she accomplishes. And like you said, are you going to bring a couple of your buddies with you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past her. I mean, what a recruiting statement for the program to have a national returner, national champion returner, and the year's not over.
Right. Yeah, we're still pretty early on, and her career certainly is still pretty early. So anybody that she's run into in these national competitions along the way, see that she's gone to William Carey, and there's a chance that they say, oh, I want to be a part of that too. Win national championships? Sure. Count me in.
And now her personality, she's very reserved, quiet, off mic. I asked her, was she going to be, you know, in the rally crew? She's like, don't. She said, I've been to every soccer game. I've been to every ladies soccer match. Love that team. So she's tracking. She's in it. She's getting used to campus life.
Yeah.
It's grown so much. She said, I couldn't be at a bigger school. She's like, I couldn't be. It's just right for her. And so she's loving campus life. She's loving the game. She's loving being an athlete and being in that group. So she's really going to flourish. You're going to see her personality blossom over the next 3 years. She already has a lot of skill set in terms of communication, and I think you're going to see that even flourish more.
Yeah, big opportunities ahead of her and ahead of this William Carey archery team. But now as we turn our attention back to soccer, Coach, just kind of picking up where we left off with this week that's ahead of us, you know, Life University, yeah, maybe not having the best year so far, but Dalton State is one that is right there in the thick of things for the conference title, along with you guys in Mobile. What do you feel like is what stands – let me get the question out. What stands out to you about this Dalton State team, and how does William Carey match up against them?
Yeah, Dalton State have been for the last couple of years have been a really, really tough side. I do feel – our side, William Carey, do match up against Dalton. I think we've got the best over Dalton State over the last 5-6 years. Like I said, me and Josh were talking earlier on, matchups are huge in this game between Mobile, Carey, and Dalton. That'll be the top three, you know, come down to the conference and the league and probably the tournament as well. I'd be surprised if someone else kind of upsets anybody there. We kind of know what we need to do going into these two games. Two difficult games for Mobile as well. They're our travel partner, so they're going in and playing Dalton State first. So, you know, you'll kind of, after that game, you'll see what needs to be done. Obviously, we're going in to try and win the two games. If we win the two games, that's massive going down. Obviously, you've got some important games, and then the last game of the season is always Mobile. So that'll be a great atmosphere down there. It'll be a great atmosphere going to Life and Dalton. They do a great job with their fans as well, just as our fans. So our guys love going down there and playing in an atmosphere like that with it. And that's what you want as a student athlete. You want the support of your schools.
It seems like though, Caleb, and something we've been talking on. We touched on the rally crew last segment, but it seems like that Carey is about to, very close, if not already, being the most intimidating place to play across the league in all sports because of the way that Ben and this athletic department and these students have really taken ownership of bringing the energy to these matches and these games.
Yeah, they really have. And it's been awesome, especially, you know, we can kind of talk a little bit more about this rally crew, but they have been a huge piece of the energy, but also the level of competition that was already present with all these different programs. I feel like just kind of gives this general umbrella of when you hear the name William Carey that you're about to go play, they're like, oh, again, or, you know, oh, we have to go to their place. There's just kind of this, you know, cloud that comes over to think, oh man, this is going to be something we're going to have to gut out. It's even true with volleyball now. After you see Carey take down Blue Mountain Christian, it's been that way with the soccer programs for a number of years. Basketball's come in waves. Women's basketball especially has been on top of things here as of late. And so it's there. It's present and it's real, especially now that the students are starting to buy in. And all the things that are coming down the pipe with what Ben Smith is doing with external affairs and all the different promotional things that are going to be coming. There's a lot that is still yet to be done, but the groundwork is already being laid and has been laid for that matter. Coach Farrell, just kind of looking back at the first time the rally crew showed up to one of your soccer matches, what was it like for you across the way looking at the energy they brought in a big William Carey win that evening?
It was amazing. I had no recollection of what was going on, and it was in the warm-up, and I could see this mass of people walking up to the game, and then I seen the sign, student section. That was against Middle Georgia, and it was amazing. I had not seen that on campus, kind of in any sport, since pre-COVID, going back to Clinton Gymnasium men's basketball. And like you said, I think the students are all on board, like they're supporting each sport. It's present, it's a start, and I think it can just get better and better, you know, as the months go on. And we were talking, I think, when they get into Clinton Gymnasium for men and women's basketball, it'd be an amazing atmosphere. But I was, you know, I made sure our players went over to the supporters and made sure that, you know, they felt welcome, and we really, really appreciate them. And us from the athletic department, we've got to do something for those guys and girls as well to make sure they come back. And they have a schedule, which is amazing. This is the students going out and doing this themselves. They got a schedule of when they're going to show up, the men's soccer, women's basketball, volleyball, men's basketball. And it just creates that kind of buzz around campus. I've seen leaflets around in classrooms, and everybody's talking about it, and they want to be a part of it. So I don't know how you join, but, you know, if I'm a student, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, there's a pent-up demand for that, right, for the full student experience. And so what we're seeing now that's developing at Cary is the full, you know, on-campus activities, intramurals, student life, great athletics, great athletic moments and memories, to rush the court, to have the team score a goal and run over to your student section and celebrate with you. Those are lifelong memories that get you back on campus.
Exactly. No, the school administration has done a brilliant job. I mean, they're building a stage right now in the middle of campus. I mean, that's got to be up in the next couple of weeks. That's going to create another kind of just that student kind of environment. So it's a great time and place to be at William Carey.
When was the last time we had an actual pep rally for a William Carey sporting event? Has that ever happened in recent years?
Yeah, I remember, I think it was my first year, 2016, we had a pep rally. I mean, you're going back 8 years ago, and it was a great atmosphere. But like you said, I haven't seen it since.
All right, put it in the book.
All right,
next thing to check the box next to
Ben. I know you're listening, so just add that to your list down at the bottom of your list.
Yeah,
or you can move it to the top.
Yeah, you could move it to the top. Right, the in-person Crusader mascot, and then pep rally.
Ooh.
You know, 1A, 1B.
I'll donate to that, Ben. I'll donate to that.
You can get a baseball stadium chair in return as well.
Just start the GoFundMe. Just start the GoFundMe for the mascot, and it'll be paid for in a day.
I was just talking to Ben today. He's got tremendous ideas, so he's working hard, and I think you'd be surprised to see what's coming.
I'm ready for the mascot with the shield, and I don't know now. I don't know if you can have a cape. There are rules.
Edna Mode was a huge cape.
Not a cape person, right? Yep. Jet engines and things of that nature for superheroes. But can a Crusader have a cape?
I think a Crusader could have a cape.
Okay, so Crusader. We got to have a cape.
Could certainly
cape
have one.
Cape and a shield and the sword.
Yeah. So you'd dress up, Josh, maybe as the mascot.
Well, you know, our very own Dalton Stanford over here was a dress-up mascot in some of his earlier years. And
there you go.
Yeah, maybe he could be the next person that coaches them up along with Laura Lightsey over there. You know, opportunities abound at William Carey.
Yeah, no, we were putting the plan together right here, brainstorming it all in about 45 seconds.
So by the end of the show, we'll have the entire itinerary of the pep rally and all the different organized people and speakers and everything else. We'll have this whole ship ready for sailing and ready to be christened by the end. Still got a couple minutes left in this segment. And yeah, Coach Farrell, I'm just thinking about not just the rally crew and everything that we've had with these matches this year in soccer, but also just how different this team has been for you from last year to this year. You mentioned a couple of guys banged up here and there, but it's really impressed me the number of guys that have gotten involved. Yeah, I think about specifically, we talked about the goal that started the game against Florida National, from Jordy Jukovic to Roberto Rangel. And it's a guy that, Rangel has been there, but he's been a little quiet sometimes. What was the shift for you to get him more involved, as opposed to how people have been zeroing in so much on Colby Godbolt? How did that change happen?
Yeah, we on that particular goal, it was kind of trial and error the day before. We mixed it up, and Rangel is normally not in that position. And I was like, we got to put this guy, because he's super aggressive. Take Colby Godbolt out. The other team really kind of home in on Giovanni Soares and those situations. And we really worked on that corner kick the day before. And I told the boys in the locker room, I said, listen, I think we can really have success in this area. And he missed. We had a really good chance right before that. And in those situations, when you're not, you you're not watching soccer a lot, there's about, it's kind of like a chess move. There's three or four pieces where people, you're trying to move players out of position. And it, you know, the guys behind me, I was standing up, and it was really good to see. And obviously Roberto, great service from Jordi Djukovic, and then obviously Rangel just taps it in, and he comes over to the bench celebrating with the coach and staff, and obviously
it worked,
the players.
It worked,
and I was like, yeah, trust us, and it will.
Yeah, give Coach Farrell the assist on that goal along with Jordi Djukovic.
I got a stat for you. We mentioned only the one player with multiple, in terms of multiple, double-digit goals, Godbolt with 10. You have a handful of players with multiple goals, but you got 14 different players now that have scored a goal this year. That talks about the depth of this team.
And that's the biggest change, Kayla, from last two seasons. It's just the depth, and we really worked hard in the offseason getting those players in, but the right characters in as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's worked to perfection so far. No losses on the year, and a couple of big matches ahead with Life and Dalton State coming up before our next show. Coach Farrell, thanks so much for joining us in studio today.
Great to be here.
All right. When we come back, Josh and I will put a bow on this week and also talk about our Crusader of the Week. That coming up and more as Crusader Talk wraps up next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right. Fast show today. Whole lot to still talk about as we wrap up Crusader Talk. Thanks to Morgan Reeves and Coach Barry Farrell joining us earlier in the program. Josh, obviously big games ahead for soccer this week. Big results from soccer as well this week. Really good week for William Carey Athletics. Volleyball had the sweep of Middle Georgia State. Just all around, a lot of success happening around William Carey.
It is. I love it. I love the energy. I love getting to campus. I plan to get out and have lunch on campus on Wednesday. I've got to have a day, Coach, coming up pretty soon where I kind of schedule out a morning, like an early morning out at soccer training, and then kind of take it through the day to be able to just take the laptop, work in between practices, kind of be there and take in four or five different practices just to get to know the coaches and the players a little bit more. It's been a treat to be a part of it. And everywhere you go, the energy is the same. Everybody's excited about what's going on, and everybody's excited about what's coming up. Coach, what's your thoughts on that?
No, that option is open, Josh. You know, come on over. You know, you'll get women's practice, women's basketball in the morning, women's soccer in the morning. You'll get lunch in the cafeteria. They'll break into men's soccer, men's basketball, and volleyball. You know, so there's a trend there in terms of practices. So it'd be good for you to come over and see.
And not to give too much away here, but I want to tell you how special William Carey people are. And I won't give away too many details or whatever. My son struck up a conversation with a coach. My son's not afraid to ask for anything, right? Strikes up a conversation.
Talks like his dad's in sales.
Makes a request. The request that was requested, you know, what's your address? Okay. The day after next. So the next day, that was in the mail. And the next day, a package shows up on our doorstep with something for my son. That's a whole nother level of conscientiousness, of thoughtfulness that builds lifelong fans, that makes a memory. And I'll give you an example. When I was a little kid, I went to the Jeff Bauer radio show, and Jeff Bauer took the time. No, I would go to a show. So then after a game, we'd gotten beaten. We got beat on a last-second field goal, and we're little kids. We're not even 10 years old. We asked, could we go into the field house, the old field house, and go in and see Coach? And we were asking his wife this. His wife escorted us into the field house, up to his office. He had just lost a game. And Ms. Bauer said, Jeff, get him a hat. And so he goes into his – I'm going to have to bring that next week for the show. He goes into his top of his closet, grabs a hat. To Josh, good luck, best wishes, go Eagles, Jeff Bauer. Still have that hat. And that those are life-changing moments for a kid. And I know you feel that way, and I know a lot of your counterparts there, your everybody you work with at Cary, when you do those type of things, it just speaks to the type of people that are at Cary, and it makes lifelong impacts.
No, you're right, and that's, you see that throughout Cary. You know, it doesn't surprise me, Josh, though. You know, it's like you say that. It might surprise some listeners, but it doesn't surprise me. It's because that's the way coaches at Cary are.
They are. I say it every week. It's a special place, and so I'm excited to see as we continue to, you know, it's our job, it's your job, it's all of our jobs to build this fan base. And as we continue to build this fan base, and they start to come out with season ticket packages and ways that fans can be involved and join the Crusader Club and do these type things. Somebody made a comment to me on the way in tonight and said, "This is what William Cary is, what college athletics is supposed to be." And that really, I said, no, you're exactly right. I said, I love it. Can't get enough of it. And Caleb, I know you echo those sentiments.
Yeah, absolutely. And so much of NIL has gotten in the way of, you know, D1 stuff, but in its better true form, it really is a good thing if it was not just pure pay for play like it is at some of the upper levels.
Like what happened today.
Yeah, like Lauren Jones with the city of Hattiesburg getting a little NIL deal. And they had a nice meeting with her and then a Southern Miss women's basketball player today at City Hall. Got to interview them. I'm sure they'll be on the news tonight with all of that. But congrats on Lauren Jones for getting that deal. Also, Crusaders of the Week. University put out their candidates for it or winners of it. Included Gift Mashilo from men's cross country. They finished first in the Louisville Classic over this past week. And then on the women's golf side, Tamtono Divishanada, and I butchered that, but I
think he did pretty good.
Close enough, I guess. You know, maybe not par, but maybe just, you know, one over on that one. But she placed second out of 60 golfers. A pretty good showing for her in the Cary Collegiate over this past week. So those are the Crusaders of the Week. I tell you what, hard to also not give Crusader of the Week honors to Morgan Reeves, national champion. I think that'll also get you a Crusader of the Week honors. We've got several Saders of the Week.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't help but just revel in the athleticism of this past week for William Cary. Had a wild weekend of college football. We also had a wild week of Crusader athletics. That's a different kind of show for another day to talk about all of that from Saturday and whatnot. But anchor down. Anyway. That'll wrap it up for us on another edition of Crusader Talk. If you missed our conversations with Coach Farrell or Morgan Reeves from William Cary Archery, you can catch us on demand wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search for Crusader Talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. If you get podcasts there, we're available there. But that'll do it for us. For our producer, Dalton Stanford, for Morgan and Coach Farrell, who joined us earlier, and Josh West, my partner, I'm Caleb Hamill. Till next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.